from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Rebound got it to Thomas, up ahead. Not enough air under it. Ballinger took it away, had to take it right back. Wilson for two. Showing the strength, another dime. Wilson.
Yes. This is Dirt and Sprague.
Swing and a hot shot out toward right center field. That's got a chance. It is gone! Into the pavilion seats. Three-run home run for Schwarber. It's his second home run of the game.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Jareem Richards on the outside. Matthew Hudson Smith. Karani James. Quincy Hall is coming back.
Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague, a Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
What is happening?
Happy Thursday, everybody.
Feeling good.
I am feeling good. I'm feeling rested. I did something that I'll never be able to do again in my life.
Hey, you had an early bedtime last night.
Yeah, 8:30.
It's funny how a little bit of extra sleep actually goes a long ways, huh?
I was wondering if I COVID. I didn't know what was happening with me yesterday. I went outside, and then maybe some air will do me. The sun is like red because there's fire smoke.
I'm burning up out here.
Yeah, it's just hot and muggy. I feel miserable. Nothing I eat makes me feel good. Turns out going to bed and getting like 9 hours of sleep actually does help.
Game changer, man. Game changer. Now, it's the hardest thing to do this time of year because going to bed at 8:30 when it is still a little bit light out is challenging. And I have a difficult time doing it. But when you're able to pull it off officially,
yeah,
like whenever I'm in bed, it doesn't happen. I always have a goal of being in bed at about 8:30, like in bed, ready to, you know, maybe checking some stuff, doing some last notes, whatever.
Sure.
But like starting the process, that's always the goal. It very rarely happens. Usually it's sometime after that. But when you hit that goal and you hit that benchmark, oh, buddy, it feels great.
I told my whole family we ate a late dinner and I went, I got 40 minutes and then I got in the shower.
If you need anything from me, I have 40 minutes and then I'm climbing into bed.
It was 8:20. I was in the shower. My wife was like, 8:21.
Oh,
and I was like, look at you helping me.
Nine minute countdown.
It felt good, except the only thing I had to deal with, aside from not feeling normal yesterday, and it was just from being tired, and I'll never get to bed that time again. I got a 12 and an 8-year-old.
No, it's still summertime. Yeah. They're not back in school yet. It's not happening.
I saw something 2 days ago, and yesterday it actually came to fruition, and I wanted to throw it at you.
Mm.
So I checked Twitter a couple days ago in the afternoon to see if I'd missed Ayuk news.
Yeah, did he get traded yet?
He has not been traded
yet. No, indeed, we're still waiting.
We are still waiting. I kind of want to call WEI and be like, you bastards told me he's making his mind up at 9 a.m. 2 days ago.
I mean, he did make his mind up. He said, I don't want to play in New England. So
not going to New England.
Technically right on that. He made his mind up on them.
But I see it in it. There's a tweet that catches my eye. It gets retweeted by somebody I follow, and it says, what's the most boomer take you have?
Mm.
And this was an interesting one because I thought of what my answer was here and ended up happening to me. And that is, when did everything in our life, when did everything in our life have to involve me downloading and using an app? Because I wanted to go to a local chain, and I will not say the name. They don't sponsor anything on the radio station.
Restaurant, I'm assuming?
It's a place I eat at.
Okay.
I won't even tell you the genre of food.
Don't need to.
And I went to go order, and I call them, and they have an auto voicemail that says, we don't take orders on the phone. You can download our app.
Download the app. Place your order.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. There's like four of you that exist. I got to download an app. So download the app.
They make you create a passcode, too. Now you got another passcode you got to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Into the random restaurant app. What am I going to do for this one?
New users, sign up.
Sign up right here.
Do you want our emails bothering you? No. Don't worry. We'll still send them to you.
Part of the reward points program.
Yeah. All of that stuff. I download this app. I'm in my car at this point now. It's getting later, and we're hungry, and I'm like, okay, come on. So I'm going through the app process. I'm signing up. I go through the order. Now, there's four of us, right? And for this kind of food, the orders aren't always as cut and dry as, well, just this and this and this. It's like this with a little lat.
Okay, yeah. Take this in, take this out. Yeah.
So I order it. I get through all four orders. I go click checkout. And after about 10 minutes of the ordering process, because my kids don't know what they want to eat with what they want to eat.
You timed out?
No. We have too many orders. We cannot process your order. Please hit refresh and try again. And I just closed the app and I said, we're not going there.
Nope.
Not happening.
I'm done. This is too complicated for me now.
And I closed it. And I will say,
it was Happy Meals for everybody.
No. Yeah, kind of. Not Happy Meals specifically, sure, but not very far off.
Let's go a little bit easier and a little bit quicker here.
And I will tell you, this has been building in my life. I'm 37. This has been hitting me hard for like the last 2 to 3. I'm just tired. Everybody has an app. I have to always use the app only, and I know, boomer statement, old guy phrase to complain about. Is anybody else tired of just having to download a new app? And the only way you can get what you want is through a new app? What happened to the old school calling in things?
You got a phone number, I call you, I place my order, and that's all that it takes. It's so refreshing when you get a restaurant that does that. We were down in Selwood a couple of weeks ago, walking around with my folks, and we were like, I'm just kind of hungry, we're going to head home soon, let's get something takeout. And so I just pulled up restaurants that were close by, and there's this Japanese place.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number pops up, you call the restaurant, hey, can I put an order in to go? Of course you can, what do you want? Boom and boom, you got it. It'll be ready in 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay, you walk in the door in 15 minutes. Here's my to-go order. Here's my card. Boom, I'm out the door. It's that simple, and it should be that easy. Now, I don't know if I have a more boomer take than this, but I'm going to add another layer on top of it.
Okay.
That it's not just restaurants that does this that pisses me off. Now, I'm a member of Persimmon, and I love playing there, but I got buddies who don't always want to go play there, or they live in different parts of the city, so you go play different golf courses sometimes. And sometimes when I do, I'll be the guy that's like, hey, I'll go make the tee time. What time do you guys want to play on Saturday? I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but a lot of public golf courses do this now, and it drives me nuts because I think I've already created a login with a certain course, but I don't remember it because it was last summer, and I haven't made a tee time there in like 11 months, and it's like, what's your password? What's your email? This email's already in use.
Right.
Can you send me a refresher for my password?
Because
I don't know what it is. I just want to book an 8:30 tee time on a Saturday, and then they say on the website, we don't take tee times over the phone anymore. You got to book it online.
Oh, yeah.
And now I have like four different logins with four different courses that I play maybe once a year. That I was trying to do this at a course maybe a month and a half ago, and I just gave up. And I was like, dude, I'm going to play Persimmon. If you guys want to come up, I'm done. I'm not like I tried. I gave it an effort. I couldn't get through. I tried to call. There wasn't somebody on the phone. I'm going to play my club, and you guys can come play if
you want. It's a lot of the same thing. It's like hey.
Just give me a tee time. I just want a tee time. Give me a tee time.
What do you have a clubhouse for? What do you do in the clubhouse if you can't take a tee time?
And when I'm in there, I see people on the phone from time to time. They're answering the phone from time to time.
I know, but it's always like, Yeah, playing white tees today. Pin play Smith 3. Yeah. Bye. And I'm like, okay, that's all phone's for.
Didn't need that, man. Didn't need that info.
The worst is when sometimes you can't even go to their website. It's like, I'll get redirected sometimes to like, go to this golf now. And
sure.
I don't even know like which one of these third-party entities, like, nope, you can't cancel. You have to pay for the slot that you didn't fill. Right. What? Yeah, well, if you use this, it's a guarantee.
Yes.
Well, you didn't use this. So you don't have to. It's like, I don't even know which ones I'm using that I'm like locking myself into having the full foursome.
Some of them used to make you pay up front.
Like, I know.
Here's $250 for your foursome. Right. And you have to like, hey, buddies, Venmo me because I paid for the foursome.
Right, yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, you know, you mentioned the Japanese restaurant. I have a Chinese chain that I haven't eaten at in a while, but like there's a local Chinese joint by my house.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're fantastic. They're the same.
Same thing.
Thank you for calling that. Yeah, can I get the noodles and the chicken and the crab? Yep, 10 minutes, bye. And I walk in there and they know me. And hey, and then here's your food, bye, piss off. You know what I mean? Like
they don't want you even in there.
The efficiency of the Asian joints, man. They know what they're doing and they're dialed.
Nobody does it better than the Asian restaurant.
I agree.
Nobody.
100%.
It's like when I lived in Milwaukee, there used to be a Chinese place just up the street from us, and there never used to be anybody in there. But they were always full, or not full, but there was open, and they were always busy because a lot of people did the to-go orders, and it was one in, one out, one in, one out the entire night, and they just never stopped. It was unbelievable.
Can I throw an idea at you? It's a spinoff of our old men complaining about the new age world we live in.
Right.
I don't know if this tracks. There is something about a Chinese restaurant for me where the one I like, if I go to it to pick my food up, there's maybe two families. There's maybe one dude.
Not a lot of people usually in there.
Chinese food. Better to go than to eat at restaurant. Agree?
Ooh, agreed.
Those white boxes make you feel something.
Agreed.
I don't know what they are, but there's something about eating out of a white Chinese food box.
I'm with you on this take.
That it just feels better, and you walk in with a bag full of like six boxes.
Yeah, and you kind of spread it around on the counter.
Yeah, everybody's kind of scooping.
Oh, I want a little bit of this. Give me a little bit of that. Give me this scoop.
Then you put it in the fridge. Yeah. You see, I got a leftover white box. Which one is it? it's that. Too bad.
When I was younger, that used to be
the
most...
Oh, it's all the rice we didn't eat.
Yes, that's always the bummer. You open it up, it's just white rice, and you're like...
Because you grab it, it's heavy. It's like, we got leftover. Yeah. Damn it. All the rice we didn't eat.
Damn it, I don't want to just eat
rice. I don't know if that's a bad take, but I think Chinese food to go is better than eating Chinese food at the Chinese restaurant.
They have the uniqueness of the white box that it's delightful. When you see it, there's the logo on the side, you know there's a fun surprise waiting for you in there, and there's something about the little white takeout box. It makes you feel good. When I was younger, my dad used to have like work meetings and stuff at Chinese restaurants, and he would always bring his leftovers home. Those were the best days the next day.
You're damn right.
You walk in, you open up the fridge, and there's like two cartons of something in there, and to the point, I don't know what it is, but it's usually some beef and broccoli, something good that I'm going to like, and he'd get pissed because I'd always eat his leftovers, but you'd open the fridge, there's a couple of boxes of presents just waiting for you
The
right
worst
there.
Part, though, is when you have the meat and vegetable dish.
Sure.
And when you go to the leftovers and somebody else has picked out all the meat and all you're left with is
the beef and broccoli left in there.
Yeah, the beef and broccoli is probably the biggest one.
Come on, man.
Right? Like, where's all the meat? And then the broccoli's covered in just the meat juice. And you're like, well, it'll taste okay, but it's just broccoli.
Now, to be fair, I was that guy when we were in Sun River because I'm not a big nut guy. I don't like nuts very much.
You don't do the cashew chicken?
We've been over this on the show before. I'm not a huge nut guy. I'll do a peanut or a half a peanut. But outside of that, just not a big nut guy. And so whenever there's a bag of trail mix, I'm very selective on
eating the M&M's.
I'm eating the M&M's. I'm eating the raisins. Okay. And I'm eating the peanuts. I'll eat the peanuts.
I'll dodge the raisins. I'm not the biggest raisin
fan. I did some damage on a trail mix bag, and then everybody looked in there and was like, hey, it's just nuts that are left in here.
You're the worst.
I mean, I don't want the nuts. What do you want?
I am never sharing trail mix with you. You are the worst.
You like nuts. Here's a bag of nuts for you. What are you angry with me for? You like nuts.
Just bring your own M&M's. M&M's next time, okay?
Yeah, bring your own bag of M&M's, dump
mix
it in.
Some M&M's and peanuts. I need my own mix.
I'll put a poll question up. Chinese food, better to go than to eat at the restaurant, yes or no? But
now, the only benefit of the in-house Chinese restaurant that you don't necessarily get at home...
Is it the portion size?
Portion size is usually pretty good.
Plate, they'll stack that stuff up.
I would argue, and you get this at other restaurants sometimes too, but you get the little spinning wheel
sometimes. Yeah, the Lazy Susan.
The Lazy Susan that you just kind of like, hey, why don't you go ahead and spin some of those noodles over to me?
Yeah, when you get the big family table, yeah, that's kind of fun.
That is kind of fun.
I'm 12 and a half, or no, I'm 25% Asian. I think I could say this.
Yes.
Okay? I don't want to stereotype. Married to a Vietnamese woman.
You are. You have the authority to say this.
We have a lot of Lazy Susans at our house. So to go Chinese food, still on a Lazy Susan at my house.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Multiple Lazy Susans in the Sprague household?
The seasoning cabinet?
Wow.
The wife was like, hey, what if we just had Lazy Susans? I said, you are a genius. Let's do it.
That's a smart move.
The salt, pepper, olive oil on the counter? Lazy Susan.
You have a mini Lazy Susan for that?
And then on the regular dinner
unnecessary
table, big old wooden Lazy Susan. Dude, you think they're unnecessary, and then you use it like, you know, this is very convenient. You know what's in my kitchen?
Give me some olive oil.
In my fridge.
What do you got?
Milk, almond milk, and like four other things. Lazy Susan main
fridge. Lazy Susan.
We Lazy Susan the hell out of our house.
Humble brag.
You know why?
Over here.
Because we're all lazy. Yeah. And you might as well call it Susan. Lazy Susan's everywhere.
Now, I think the most impactful one there would be the fridge one.
It's clutch.
Especially now when we're still in the milk stage and there's milk bottles and formula things and the whole thing is full.
Yep.
Trying to get around the top shelf of the refrigerator is a nightmare.
Well, it's annoying because if you don't...
Take this out. I got to grab this one. And then this is in the behind. Yeah. And then there's the milk. I need some milk. It's behind four different things.
Try wherever your milks are. If you do multiple milks, whatever.
Yeah.
You should try to get a fridge-size Lazy Susan. I am telling you, it's the clutchest thing my wife's ever purchased.
It's a wonderful idea.
All right. Well, let's get it going. We have a lot to get to. No more complaining about society, I think. We'll probably have some more today.
As the show goes on.
You know, who knows?
It's football season.
It is.
Well, I got a lot of complaining about that, too.
Yeah, we got the NFL back tonight, baby.
Play your players.
Yeah,
there you go. There's a complaint for you.
What are we doing?
Download an app to get your players to play? Is that what
if
you
I
need?
Download well, the I Panther app tonight, season. I get Bryce Young in the lineup?
I've already started trying to plan out menus for the opening games Thursday and Friday.
See, I love that about you. I need to be doing this as well. Football season will be here, and it's like, oh no, what am I going to eat for dinner tonight?
Thursday, you're going to go with, you got the Chiefs and the Ravens. So it's like, all right, we got a little KC, little Baltimore. I was doing some research.
Are you going to do some barbecue seafood?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do burnt ends and crab cakes, both on the Trigger.
Homage to the two cities.
That is what Maryland does.
That is what they do.
I found out more. We'll discuss this later. Okay. But I think Friday, I'm going to go just Brazilian.
Oh,
I was looking at Brazilian
like
food.
A big thing of meat on a...
I found... Yeah, there's a specific cut.
What's a metal thing called? The
skewer.
The big one at the restaurants.
I don't know.
Isn't the thing that spins with the...
Oh, the rotisserie?
Yeah, what is that? No, what's it called? There's a name to it. The spigot? Not a spigot. What is it? I don't know what it is.
I know it's not a spigot.
Well, whatever it is. Anyway, you got to get the beef on it and just cut it off.
Yeah, there's a specific cut of meat just for that steak that I'm going to have to go hunt down. Then there was a recommendation for a Brazilian spice combination I'm going to go hunt down on Amazon.
All right. I like that.
So, yeah, we're doing that. I found a seafood stew dish.
Boy, you're really planning your meals out here.
A lot going into this.
And I found native cocktails to both Kansas City and Brazil.
Okay. Hey. I'd be curious to hear those at some point in the show. So we got a lot to get to today. Ken Barkley at 8 a.m. I've made a Ken Barkley open.
I can't wait to hear it.
It's quite good.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Usually I send him an open. He'll tell me he'll be like, this was really good. Yeah. He just said, it's in the system. And I'm like, well, I feel like I could have made it a little better, but I think it's kind of perfect for the segment.
Hopefully we get a good reaction from old Ken today. I can't wait.
We need to be on time.
We do.
I want Ken on the horn before that open plays. I want him to hear the open.
He's got to hear it.
So we got a loaded show, a lot to get to. Let's start in the Olympics. I got some Olympic stuff I want to get to. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Thursday on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We've got a lot of NFL sticky notes to get to today. Quite a bit, actually. We've not talked as much NFL as we
sponsored
can.
Sponsored by 3M today.
Hey,
I'd be take it. We'll go to Kansas for the Daily Ticker. They're number 22 on the Dirty Poll.
Jayhawks have big expectations. They're one of those teams in the Big 12 that might have a chance. Returning quarterback Lance Leipold stays committed. There's momentum building for Kansas football.
We will not be joined by one Isaac Everett Roth today.
Oh, it's too early. If he's up this early, he's playing golf.
No. Well, yes. that's actually spot on.
Yes.
He was scheduled to join us.
Oh.
He forgot he had a duty, and that was a 7 a.m. tea time.
A.m. tea time.
But he did say that he'll join us if they get to the Big 12 title game.
Okay.
So if they get there, then you bring me on and I'll talk a lot of
All right, when we get to that point.
He said his group chat of Kansas guys is mainly talking basketball recruiting right now.
Really? Even with the momentum going?
Dude, that's as blue blood of the school as you get in that
sport. I'm not criticizing,
but we're in
August.
That football team has been irrelevant for almost all of his life.
Outside of the Mangino era, baby.
Hell yeah.
He's going to Orange Bowl.
But yes, with what is coming in basketball-wise to that conference, yeah.
I mentioned I watched Feinbaum the other day, and they had a clip they played. He interviewed Lance Leipold and just like, the expectations, look at them. They existed Kansas. They've invested in the football program, the facility upgrades.
They have.
Lance Leipold started off slow, but man, he's been hot the last 2 years. So we'll go to Kansas State. We'll talk with their play-by-play man. Just what the expectations are. Can they win the Big 12? Big year for the old Jayhawks, number 22 on the old Dirty Poll. Got caught up in some Olympic fever yesterday.
We had a nice little comeback. I saw that.
Yeah, dude, I want to play this for you because quite literally was Kramering. Was in my living room.
Yelling at your TV. Come on!
Smacking my invisible horse, watching the 400-meter race. And USA track athlete Quincy Hall had a very big comeback. Here he is.
Watch Hall! He's fading badly at this point, Lee.
Jerome Richards on the Matthew Hudson Smith, Ronnie James, Quincy Hall is coming back.
I don't want to talk negatively. These Olympic broadcasters are having some very unique moments happen to them. They had the guy who called the race for Jamaica.
Yes.
And Noah Lyles was ended up being the winner.
This was the same guy, Lee Diffie.
I know. What I was going to say was the timing of the play-by-play there. Quincy's falling back. And then maybe 2 to 3 seconds. Quincy, here he comes. Yeah.
Well, he was. They came off the final turn.
Yeah.
That is the most difficult track and field race, I think, of all of them.
This is a hot take. The 400 meters, the most difficult?
Yes.
Because the 15 is quite long. And I'm like, how do you pace that?
No, but
400
meters,
is that one time around the track?
It's one lap.
Yeah, one full lap around the track.
And it's and you're pretty much at this point sprinting for 400 meters. Yeah. It is.
You're not wrong in that regard. What I would say, though, is did you see what Cole Hawker, who went to Oregon and he won the 15, did you see what his time at the 15 would have been if he ran the full mile? 3:44.
Yeah.
But 3:40. Can you run a mile in 3 minutes, 44 seconds?
Well, you're into middle distance.
That's a dead sprint for me.
Middle distance is a different discipline.
I know.
The 400 is because you can go, you just go into oxygen debt at that point. How he pulled that off.
His body just looked like it was ready to collapse, and he's just like.
He got to the finish line and just fell over. He just laid down. Like, I'm going to sit here and do some snow angels for 15 minutes, man. I can't breathe. It was just sprinted for an entire lap around the track. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Well, to be that far back in the home stretch,
you ever
really cool.
see somebody out in the front start to fade and pull it back like that.
Yeah.
Either people go out fast and try to hold on, or they ease into it and then kick it into high gear at the end of it as the strategy. But I think it's the hardest race.
I watched a little bit of beach volleyball, and we got just...
We didn't medal for the first time in, like, forever,
I thought that was
first
our
time
sport.
Ever. First time ever.
That was our sport. Chase Buttinger got knocked out. And then yesterday, Qatar's dudes just... Man, they look like two Pascal Siakams just dominating our guys.
We got dominated?
Just spiking it, digging everything out, saving everything. Just they bludgeoned our two-man team yesterday.
We should have seen that coming from an Arizona Wildcat in a tournament game, right? Falling short, can't quite get to the Final Four. It's like a Sweet 16. Can't get there, man.
Actually,
he's an Arizona.
Very funny joke by you.
He's an Arizona Wildcat.
Why didn't you tweet that?
Because I didn't know that we lost in beach volleyball until I read it this morning.
Oh. Yeah, I forget. You're not watching the Olympics.
No, I mean, it's on usually when I get home. I have it on the TV, but I'm not, like, sitting there. If I walk by and something's like a final lap of something is taking place, or like, hey, there's 20 seconds left in this game, I'll sit and watch. But usually it's just something random, and I'm like, I don't care.
Somebody had a video of Quincy Hall and said, I know this guy's from the South. He was wearing under his, what is that called?
It's called a singlet.
Singlet. He was wearing very loose boxers, and it took me back to playing like basketball in high school where everybody was wearing loose boxers.
Yes.
And he just put it under his tracksuit, didn't care at all. He still won the 400 meter race.
That's all I need, man. I did see we have like a 16-year-old running today, like setting an age record. You guys not? Do I have an Olympic fact?
You might have an Olympic fact over
there. You guys don't know.
I know we had a 16-year-old win a skateboard medal.
Yeah. Oh, we did? I think we've probably had young skateboarders before. That's a pretty young
sport. Were they 16 or 14, the skateboarder?
The American was 16, okay. But it's her second medal.
That's amazing.
So she was in Tokyo 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So this guy's name is Quincy Wilson. He's from Maryland, and I guess it's the 4x400-meter relay.
Oh, okay. I think I saw him at some of the prelims in Eugene.
Yeah,
I
he's a 16-year-old. He was at the trials, and I believe he is set to become the youngest American to ever participate in an American track and field event as a 16-year-old.
Well, Noah Lyles is going for the 200-meter today. That'll be a really fun event.
Imagine being in high school and competing in the Olympics.
No, I can't
fathom going back to, like, junior high. Hey, school starts in a month.
I don't know how to react
to for social studies.
Like, have you thought about that, how you react if you won gold? Like, you can't – it's hard to even say because it has
to happen. Well, that was the way it used to be for a lot of American gymnasts who were 16, 17.
The gymnasts have always been super young.
Really young.
And and then you have a whole, you get to be 25 and
your career's over.
You have to create a whole new life now.
Right.
There's a high school, Wilson High School in Long Beach, California. You know, they've had an Olympic athlete for Team USA every Olympics since 1972.
It's a pretty random factoid. What is
in Long Beach, California?
Is it a green zone? Is they have like a ring zone or a gold zone down
there? I
don't
know.
Something in the food, something in the water that just breeds Olympic athletes?
Like, what are the odds that one high school has an Olympic athlete every Olympics since 72?
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, too, and say that that's a very wealthy neighborhood.
Long Beach?
Yeah.
Long Beach strikes me
certain pockets of it I could see.
Kind of like the Grant neighborhood. It's like some old money mixed in with some not as financially stable people.
I feel like a lot of Olympic sports, not all of them, but a good chunk of them, depends on what you're meddling in.
Sure.
It takes a lot of money and a lot of resources in order to pursue some of these careers.
Long Beach, Park Row, same.
Same thing.
Old money, poor people.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? The combination.
Some really nice houses in that neighborhood. Hasn't trickled down to the high school yet.
Sarah Hildebrandt won the women's wrestling one. That was pretty cool to watch. And I'm surprised you haven't had more on Scotty winning a gold. How do we equate golds to golf seasons?
I don't really know yet.
That was a pretty solid final round.
It was amazing.
Comeback,
he was down six.
A few shots off the pace, and
Rahm choked.
Shoffley choked.
He ruined his whole career going to live.
I mean, I'm not going to go.
Crazy.
It's been 1 year, so I'm not going to go that far. But he had a horrible year this year.
Dirt. You could tell that guy's mentally just been in a fragile spot since he made that decision.
But we've also done that with a handful of other guys that have gone. Like Brooks has won a major and come back, and Bryson's been competitive in majors. So I agree with you.
Has a different vibe.
In the short term, I 100% agree with you. I just don't know. I mean, the future is a long way. Career is a long ways. I don't know what 5 years from now we're going to be saying about John Rahm. This might be the case that we look back and say, "What an idiot! He can't compete anymore." I don't really know how to quantify a gold medal in golf yet.
Is it like a major?
No, I don't think so.
But it's a gold medal.
It's a gold medal, I know.
Pretty amazing to get.
I mean, it's not even the biggest international golf competition that there is.
Did Scotty cry when he put on the green jacket again? Because he cried getting a gold medal.
Yeah, there's definitely pride for him individually. I'm just speaking as a fan. It probably means as much to him, if not more, maybe, to win a Masters.
Well, I would say
this. But as a fan,
this...
like, would I rather watch him win the Masters or win a gold medal? It's not even close.
We might have a guy who got arrested winning a gold medal, and a guy got arrested winning the presidential election. What a year it could be.
What a year for convicts, dude.
Just get arrested.
Convicts are hot
now.
What's
the secret to your success? I got arrested.
Convicts. Got a rap sheet now.
it's quite long.
Because aren't we only two Olympics in, basically, to the best golf? Three Olympics
in. This is the third Olympic since they brought golf back. They had golf way back in, like, 1916 or something.
Way back in the day, yeah. Mm. It's kind of like the World Baseball Classic. You know, give it some time. We'll see where we go in 10 years.
Well, they finally had an atmosphere. It finally felt like an event.
Yeah, Roy really liked the event.
Where are they playing in 28?
Riviera.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That'll be dope.
That's pretty cool.
Might be a reason to go.
It might be. Not going to, but it might be.
Go. Like, hey, what are you here for? I'm just here for the golf, and I'm leaving. Like, I don't care about anything else.
Can I get on and play? I'm going to be like that Japanese guy that showed up at the Masters with his clubs. I heard there's tee times available at 7:15. Can I compete for America? No, not a case. All right.
Oh, let's see. USA plays Serbia today, and the women have not lost a Olympic game in basketball since 92.
Yeah, they go for number 60 in the semifinals.
I want to look up the facts of that 92 game. Who was on that? Who did we lose to in 92?
What happened
there? How are we losing in 92?
All right, let's get to some NFL sticky notes next on The Fan. What's going on in Seattle, man? Five fights yesterday at Seahawks camp, including a DK Metcalf against Trey Brown fight where he got the helmet and tried to hit dirt. Trey Brown with a helmet.
He went Myles Garrett on us. You never go full Myles Garrett, man. You never go full Myles Garrett. That is a dangerous thing, and it was hilarious that it was caught live on television.
I had flipped over to
live on TV
inside training camp or whatever.
There he is in the background grabbing a helmet.
The announcers kept getting up. It's like, we got a flat out scuffle.
I guess Mike McDonald is actually pro scuffling.
He's a defensive guy.
He's told his guys, though, if you're going to fight each other, don't close your hands. Keep your hands open.
Yeah, let's not break a hand. Let's also not maybe swing a helmet at somebody. Could be a decent idea.
I also found it funny. You know who was at camp for the first time? All training camp yesterday and witnessed the day they had five fights.
Who showed up?
Jody.
That's right. I always forget about her owning the Seahawks. It's always like in the back of my mind. And then I'm like, that's right. She still owns the damn Seahawks.
What went through her mind seeing five fights on the field with her own team after her new coach she just hired? Like what goes through a Jody Allen's mind if you're not as familiar with the sport of football, though reportedly she loves football the most.
Yes.
What goes through her mind watching five fights?
She probably thought, this is what I instructed my security detail to do when we were trying to get the penguin bones off the tarmac, man.
Fight harder.
Get out. Go.
DK may not be the physically like biggest person in the league. He's definitely in the conversation of guy I would never want to scuffle with. That
never.
Dude is massive.
It's 99.9% of the NFL is guys I would never want to fight with.
I know.
He is in the top 99. He's in the top percentile.
Yeah.
He's up there, man.
Yeah, definitely he's
near the top of that list.
Brandon Ayuk still hasn't been traded.
No, we're all waiting.
So this is interesting. So in Pittsburgh now, what I like about stories like this is, we'll hold it, maybe he'll get traded during the show. You start to get infighting on reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there's a guy who hosts a radio show on a radio station that's our sister station, 93.7 The Fan. His name is Andrew Filipponi. And he reported on Twitter, this is a done deal.
Done deal.
The deal between the Niners and the Steelers is done. That they're just finalizing small details. This is done. Ayuk is going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then our good friend Jerry Dulac, who we've had on several times for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he's been covering the Steelers forever. He came out on Twitter and said, there is no deal done. He may end up being in Pittsburgh. They have no deal. Nothing. Okay? And then Andrew Filipponi started getting blown up. I guess he's a guy that's reported things that hasn't happened in the past.
Mm.
He's in our age demographic, and he's an up-and-coming guy.
Younger guy.
And so he starts getting just blasted on Twitter. And he joined us live on Twitter from a car wash. Here was Andrew Filipponi. Well, where is this? Where's the audio?
You didn't send me that one.
Oh, my God.
I put everything in.
You ever
you
have
sent
a day
me.
Where you feel like you do it all?
Oh, God. He was very adamant that this trade is going to happen.
This ruins the whole segment because you're not going to get it in time.
I'll be him. He basically says that what is going to change here? The Niners are not going to pay him. They haven't wanted to pay him the entire time, so that contract situation is not going to change.
Will the Steelers give the 49ers what they want?
Yeah, that's the question, and that's where I think the difficult part of this deal lies. Like, Pittsburgh makes so much sense in this case. They have a young quarterback who I still think will end up winning the job in Justin Fields that they want to give weapons to. George Pickens, we know, is incredibly talented. Here's the dilemma. What the Niners have, or at least what it's been reported, what they want in return is they want somebody that they can plug and play at wide receiver. New England had that. Kendrick Bourne is not a top whatever wide receiver in the NFL, but he's a consistent guy, familiar with the system. You can bring him in and plug and play with him right away. The Raiders have been bantied about it. You get Devontae Adams for a year. The Browns are in the mix. Do you get Amari Cooper for a short-term rental, capitalize on the Super Bowl window? What wide receiver are the Pittsburgh Steelers trading the 49ers in this deal? Because outside of George Pickens, who is incredibly talented, they're not trading George Pickens in this deal.
No.
Van Jefferson, does that do it for you for the 49ers? Maybe. I don't know if you can trade a rookie wide receiver, but they drafted Roman Wilson. Does that do it for you?
I don't think they'd be trading him.
Right, so there's just not a lot left in that wide receiver room in terms of names that you're familiar with and that have been productive in the NFL, and that is the hang-up. And so maybe they come with enough draft compensation that the Niners say, hey, we got Pearsall. We think eventually he's healthy, and that can plug the Ayuk hole that's left when he gets dealt. But that all the reporting has been they want another wide receiver in return, and Pittsburgh just doesn't have that to give them.
Do you find this an odd topic that's lingering as quote-unquote big news? Because I think we all, no matter how you feel about Ayuk and where you place him in your mind, we all know that he's a very, very good player, but he doesn't quite carry the star power as other wide receivers, and so it feels kind of like an odd story to cover so much.
Yes.
Because we know he's good, but if you went to San Francisco, his numbers are awesome, but what is he, the fourth, the third biggest name on their offense? Like, McCaffrey's bigger.
McCaffrey's bigger. Kittle's definitely bigger.
Kittle's more popular.
Brock Purdy's the quarterback, so he has to be bigger.
Trent Williams is the best left right. tackle in football.
And Debo's got the name of Debo.
Yeah.
In the way that he plays.
He's been awesome. So it's a weird story to cover because we know how good he is. All the metrics suggest advanced analytics are in his favor. But he's not even a top three most popular player on his own team. And so it's like a weird thing to talk about because he might be a number one.
Yeah.
but the other number ones in the NFL feel bigger, like CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson. These names feel bigger than Brandon Ayuk. So it's kind of an odd spot, like where there's so much noise on it, but I don't even know if people know what he sounds like when he talks, whereas, like, how many people recognize him and all
right,
that stuff.
Right, and I don't. You guys would have to correct me on this. I feel like when we've had other receivers traded recently, whether it be this offseason or in years past, there hasn't been this kind of drag-out fight that eventually led to it. Like, if I remember correctly, wasn't Tyreek Hill just kind of randomly traded? Like, that wasn't a demand. That wasn't a get me out of here. It was like, oh, damn, they traded Tyreek Hill. I don't remember that lingering for weeks and weeks
Not like this,
I want out, I want out. Or, oh, this team wants him, this team wants him.
There was a little bit, are they going to pay him?
There was that question of, do you give him the contract? Yeah. Do you trade him? And I think the same with Davante Adams of, like, are you going to give him the deal? Or are they going to deal him? How's this going to work out?
Jefferson had this a little bit.
He had it a little bit,
but
for
I don't
sure.
feel like it lingered as long as this.
And then he got the deal. And then he signed the deal. And so that was done. I think that's the other part of it. Is of we're so desperate for NFL that this is a wide receiver that we know is very talented who's demanding a trade, and it's giving us something to talk about with the National Football League.
I got more. You mentioned there was one name of a receiver that did get traded this offseason, and he went to a new team. His former quarterback talked about him. He was asked if he missed him. I got the full audio, okay? We got the full report. We'll get to that. Some good news for preseason football. We got some more NFL sticky notes next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. John Smoltz tells a funny story and a clip that is pretty old but hilarious and a little iconic on the internet. The guy in the clip died today.
Yeah, I'd never seen this before. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm cracking up watching the clip.
So we'll play some of the audio and let you know who that was. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. I got jacked out of my mind by an offensive line coach.
Let's go.
And your team continues to be picked.
Nobody's picking us this year, man.
Nobody's picking us.
Everybody's taking like Penn State to win the Big Ten.
You guys are going to become the favorite when you play Ohio State, and it might be a field goal.
A lot of Michigan picks. People are really high on Jonathan Smith in year one and East Lansing.
Okay.
A lot of Matt Rhule fans out there. We're like picked to finish seventh. What are you talking about?
Carrying on our NFL sticky notes, we've got good news.
What's the good news?
Well, we have Thursday Night Football tonight.
We do. We have two games on tonight. We're one on tonight, but two games being played.
Except Bryce Young's not playing.
He's not playing.
And I don't. Maybe he'll see action in the third game. Sometimes that's how this goes, too. But he's not going to play, and you can certainly say, well, we'll see what happens. But also you could say, man, had about as bad a rookie year as you'd possibly wanted the number one pick after that trade. How about we see something? Well, they're not going to play him. Buffalo announced today that Josh Allen and the first team offense are going to play a whole quarter.
Look at that.
On Saturday against the Bears. So we'll get Caleb versus Josh Allen.
There we go.
Saturday preseason football.
Round of applause to the Buffalo Bills for doing the right thing for America. I don't care if it's the smart decision or not. We want him in the lineup. You know, we're going to have Ken on today at 8, our good buddy Ken Barkley. And I remember him ranting last year at the start of the NFL season about one of the gambling angles that he follows. Is that, and there are certain examples that don't count for this, like Kansas City Mahomes, like there's some outliers here.
They're also, by the way, Reed said they're going to play
their guys
a whole quarter.
So, but there's some teams that choose not to play anybody, and there's some teams that choose to play guys. And he argued, I remember last year at the start of the season, one of the angles, gambling angles that he looks at is a team that played nobody in the preseason playing a team that played guys a quarter, two quarters, three quarters, played two games, played two and a half games? Like, are you getting some guys who have already had reps in live game action against a team who largely just sat their starters for 3 weeks? And usually the team that played in the preseason is better suited in week one and week two of the NFL season. And that week one and week two for a lot of squads has become a pseudo preseason game. And I don't understand it. We live in this world of constantly being fearful of what could go wrong. We go through this in baseball all the time.
We went through it in summer league.
Starting pitch, Blazers. Summer league. I don't want to play this. Scoot could get hurt. Like, what? Or he could get better, or he could get reps with his starting center, or he could build confidence going into his second year.
LeBron's playing in the Olympics. He's 40.
And how many postseasons has that guy been through over the last 15 years, right? We live in this world of fear and what could go wrong, and he could get hurt. I don't understand it, man. And kudos to these teams with veterans who are perennially playoff teams who are saying, you know what? We want our guys to have reps. We want them to be ready for week one. And I'm proud of the Bills. And I can't wait to watch that game on Saturday.
Speaking of the Bills, there was some noise made from Buffalo. My take when Stephon Diggs got traded, one of the parts of my takes was that sometimes there's an addition by subtraction. And Diggs' numbers are awesome. He's a great football player. Their offense got better last year when they stopped forcing the ball to him. His production went down.
They started running the ball.
And they got better with Joe Brady. Josh Allen was asked, and part of the quote circulated yesterday, so I got the full context here. Here was Josh Allen being asked, with no Stephon Diggs in camp, how he feels not having Stephon Diggs.
I think Steph's a great player, and what he brought to this team was special. Miss is I don't know if I'd say miss. You know, he was a guy that was reliable. You can look to. He's going to have the juice each and every day. I'm sure he's bringing it over there in Houston. So definitely, yeah, you can't say that you don't miss that. But I am very happy with what we got going on here and how hard the guys have been working.
He was then asked a follow-up question of, like, how do you replace the production that Stephon Diggs? You probably have to parse this out to the guys who are on your team. Here's how he followed it up.
I mean, I'm very comfortable with the guys that we've brought in, and it's no secret, you know, Steph was an all-pro here, and he's got the stats to back it up. You know, each year he had 100-plus catches and 1,000-plus yards, and that's a heavy workload for someone to come and fill those shoes, and I understand that. The guys in that room understand that, but at the same time, the approach that these guys have had of working hard and putting their head down, and, you know, when they get the ball, they get the ball, and when they don't, they're doing everything they can to help somebody else get the ball and break them free. So, you know, well, I guess we'll find out.
So the quote goes around, miss, I wouldn't say miss, which I think is just flat-out honesty of, like, yeah, yes, probably not the easiest guy to deal with, but the full context is he gives him full credit, yeah, talks about how good he is, what he meant to them. And, of course, the internet doesn't use the full context. They use the part of the quote.
He doesn't miss him.
Which, you know, at least he was honest about that.
Yeah, I just, this is one of those environment things. This is one of those morale things where I don't know if it's going to work out on the field for them. I'm really high on Keon Coleman. I loved him at Florida State. He is a hilarious interview. His pre-draft stuff that went viral has just been amazing to watch. I am all in on Keon Coleman. Will he become Stephon Diggs? Who the hell knows, man? He's a rookie, but some of the highlights in camp look good. This is about the morale in the locker room and the morale in your quarterback room that Stephon Diggs at times dragged down on. We all saw the highlights of him on the sideline throwing temper tantrums when he wasn't touching the football. He did the same thing in Minnesota, and they got to the point where we're like, we're not going to pay you. You're a bit of a headache. You're kind of complaining, and it worked out for them to go draft Justin Jefferson. I don't know if Keon Coleman's going to be Justin Jefferson, but I think the morale has to be up just because you're not dealing with that constant headache of, is Stephon happy? Is Stephon getting the ball? Are we calling in a place for Stephon? None of these guys in their wide receiver room are a diva yet. They might turn into one because receivers usually do, but they're not there yet. And sometimes you can have an addition by subtraction, not necessarily statistically speaking, but just from the morale boost that you get inside the locker room.
A lot of pressure in Buffalo for them to win and get through. And sometimes getting rid of kind of whatever's lingering with negativity, it can change the feel for a team. We'll see. They got an interesting offseason.
They've had a very interesting offseason.
A lot of people think they're going to take a big step back.
And hence why I love that they're playing Josh Allen in the preseason. Like, you got to work out timing and just everything with these receivers. Oh, and so you get some game reps, you work some things out, complete a couple of balls, you build some confidence going into week one.
Loaded second hour of the program. I got jacked out of my mind by an offensive line coach and Dirt's team. Boy. Everybody's jumping on now. We'll get to that. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.